Shauger, the Edmonton Oilers, obviously not the start Mikko Koskinen wanted. And, hey, I guess the good news was the team didn't really give up anything after that. They were protecting their goalie or protecting their chances of getting a win. Depends how you look at it.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there could have been more of a sag than there was, because that definitely let the air out of the sails, for sure, or the wind out of the sails. But they didn't sag too much. I think they had a game plan, and they were able to still go out, kind of shake that off and push their game plan on the Senators. That's a good sign, I think. You know, it's a few times now that it's happened to the group, and a team could start to get frustrated or start to get down, but they didn't, and that's a positive step. I mean, listen, after the losses they suffered and the beating that they took, both on the ice and in the media and the hockey world, I think they've done a nice job here over two games of kind of resurrecting the confidence that they had before that mess with Toronto happened.
Yeah, it's true, because they didn't give up much. Now, Ottawa was playing their second half of back-to-back games. It didn't have much. And I know they scored on the Yamamoto goal, and then there was the power play goal, and then Draisaitl scored again on a change. But, man, there was long stretches where the McDavid line literally looked like they were on a power play last night at times.
Yeah, no, for sure they did. They had lots of offensive zone pressure. They were grinding in there good. McDavid and Draisaitl kind of had it on a string. They were whipping it around. I think Yamamoto is just an excellent compliment to the way those two guys play. I think that long-term, that could be a fit as they've ever had with those two, in my opinion. Just the way he plays the game and the way he compliments them. I don't think it'll stay together long-term, but I think it could potentially if they were to stay together. Tippett was interesting today. Like, I don't know if you heard his availability. He was asked, I think Jonesy asked him, is this Draisaitl McDavid being together thing day to day, week to week? And Tippett said day to day. And in fact, based on the way the game's going, it's shift to shift. So I don't think this experiment, or it's not an experiment, I don't think this is long for his lineup.
No, nor should it be, but I understand why he's doing it. In a long season, you know, you look for different things to spark your team, and so he changes it up. I will say this. I thought the best line last night might have been, like, the Turris line. They had some great chances. Yep. And it was kind of Turris, what I guess, in line changes, because two of his best passes came to Chiasson and then to Gaetan Haas later in the game, and both times they were stymied.
Yeah, he was feeling it, which was good. It's good that he had a game like that. It was two games ago, wasn't it? Where did he take the big hit?
No, that was against Calgary on Saturday.
Yeah, that was against Calgary, right? So he got walloped along the blue line in that game. And
woke him up.
Maybe it woke him up a little bit. Like, you know, Turris, I think we know the skill that he has had at his disposal through his career, right? We know where he was drafted, and there's a reason for that. So there's a certain set of skills that he has. And that, a lot of that still exists. It's still there. But it's packaging that with enough of the other elements that make you effective, that make you usable or not. And so far, that skill, for the most part, hasn't been enough to keep him as usable as they would like him to be. But when he puts it together, when he skates well and when he battles a little bit harder, when he's a little bit harder on pucks, and he's playing the game with a little bit more kind of physical confidence out there, he does have that vision, and he does have the ability to make plays. So good for him. Hopefully that's a confidence-building night for him. And, you know, he continues to get opportunity. They need him anything he can contribute is a bonus, because so far this year it's been a struggle for him. Nice couple of plays, good game for him, and you're off and running.
Does he play tomorrow?
Well, I could – see, this is the thing about Gaetan Haas. So, much better skater, gets in faster on the forecheck, but not a lot happens when Haas gets there. He's not really disrupting a ton of plays, and he's not really, you know, he gets there faster, there's no doubt. But how much of a different, like, you know, there's some penalty killing elements with Haas as well. That would be the guy for me who potentially the swap would be with, right, would be Haas. So what's the status on Cahoon? What's the status on Archibald? And if those guys are both going back in, Haas could come out, but I'm not sure where you go from there. Maybe Ennis again, but I don't know that you have, you know, both Like, I don't like having Cahoon and Ennis out of the lineup. I don't think that necessarily works very well. So,
well, I'm more so mentioning because Turris wasn't skating today, right? So, what was the update from Tippett? Was it just a rest day?
Do you know what? The question never got to him. Yeah, okay. Never got to him.
Do you think now Cassian made a first appearance? He's not going to play tomorrow, obviously not. I would think he needs a few days of practice at least.
Yeah, Tippett
right? Said
maybe gets cleared by the end of the week.
Yeah, okay.
Is
that's
what
kind of what
thinking.
I thought. Like, I could see the Vancouver game potentially for Zach Cassian. And then they'll have to make another roster move there for sure. The defense, Lagesson, Bouchard, you know, Jones and Bear, I thought, played solid again last night. So, you know, the coaches wanted to get those guys back up and running. I think he's kind of got to stick with them for now.
Yeah, I asked him about Evan Bouchard today and about this is a young defenseman who needs to be playing games to develop properly. And the balance between getting him games and letting him develop, but also needing to have a winning blue line as well. And I mean, he understands the question. Like, he knows a guy's better off playing games, but it's just a weird year where you can't necessarily just throw him down to the minors and then bring him back up. So it's not an ideal situation, and he's aware of that. The one thing that makes it a little bit different this year on the positive side is that, I mean, you've watched some of those taxi squad practices. Those guys go hard. And it's different when it's just you and one other, two other scratches out there skating hard, trying to make stuff up to stay sharp. When you're practicing hard with like five or six other guys, you can actually do some pretty functional stuff. And that's, I think, why we're seeing guys come off that taxi squad and be so effective. I think there's a different level of game readiness from these practice squad players than there would normally be from your average scratch who sits for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But that's totally fair. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. What did you make of the Nugent Hopkins line last night?
Just okay. Well, it wasn't great. And I think when Tippett said work in progress after the game, he was asked about kind of the dimension and how it all looked and felt. He said work in progress. Well, I think he was probably happy with the Caroline. You know, Chason sniped a pretty nice one. So I think it's a focus on that second line. I think, you know, it's incumbent on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to try and drive some more opportunities, drive some more chances, drive some more plays. It's not quite there, I think, for it to be up to where it needs to be as a second line when you get in there against those other really good teams that can throw those, you know, top two or three lines at you. Like, picture a game against Winnipeg, right, where they've got that Lowry line on the third line, and now they've got Dubois as a second line center, and, you know, they got Scheifele. So picture that matchup against Winnipeg. Can you throw Nugent Hopkins' line, as we saw last night out there, against their second line, and feel okay about that? And I think the answer right now would be probably not. So, that's why I think, you know, Drysdale and McDavid play a part most of the time. So for Nugent Hopkins, yeah, I'm not sure. It's I don't know if it's sense of urgency. I don't know if it's intensity. I don't know if it's not sitting back so much and getting a little bit more intense about forechecking and grinding and digging stuff out and creating opportunities. He has a tendency to kind of sit and wait for things to develop. He's a cerebral player, but he's not, you know, not driving play quite enough right now. And I think that's fair criticism.
Yeah, I wonder how he's handling the not having a contract, right? Some guys, it's on their mind. Even though you try not to think about it, I've talked to some players, it doesn't impact them. Other players, it does. No question about it. And I wonder how much of a factor that is, because this season, despite playing the majority of it with Connor McDavid, he's had his second lowest, you know, points per 60 and even strength point production of his career.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where his head is at, and I don't know. I mean, we don't ever have an opportunity to talk to these guys other than when the Zoom call is recording. So, you know, a sense we might get here or there about things this year we don't get. So how's he doing with not having a contract? I mean, you know, he wants to stay in Edmonton. He wants to be here long term. I think he would be happy to retire as an Oiler. But a lot of things have shifted around him, including the financial environment that the league is existing in. And so there's some uncertainty now, where I think that he probably was hopeful to be able to get something done, but there's a lot of uncertainty now. And I agree with you. That's going to affect different players in a different way. I don't know where Nuge comes in on that. You know, if it's something that's rattling him a bit, or if there's if he's feeling unsettled about it. But if you want to boil it down just strictly to what we're seeing on the ice, he's an excellent power play player. He's a fantastic contributor to that group. He's a great complement. And someone that that power play, you know, would be great to have moving forward. But for him to really stake out his ground, you know, being able to show that he can drive play hard when he's on his own. And not on his own, he's got Puljujärvi there too and whoever's on the other side. But just being able to really drive play, I think that's what's lacking, you know, from his game right now.
TSN joins us. And Shager, if you had to choose right now, does Patrick Kane surpass Hall, Medano, Chelios, Roenick? Is he better than all of them? Is he at the top, or do we have to wait till his career's over to anoint him the best American player ever?
I think you want to let it all settle and see how good he is for how many years, how high a level he stays at for how many years. You know, are you ready to anoint him that right now? I'm not sitting here with all of the numbers in front of me and to make the total comparison. He's right there. I mean, the cups are something special. So I don't know. I think you wait when a guy's done, and then you let him take his place among all-time greats, you know, wherever that might be. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, barring a major, like, end to his career, like a real drop-off, I think when his career is over, people will say he's the greatest American. I just think he's been that good. He's that dynamic. You saw, like, you know, they've lost Taves, they've lost Seabrook, they've lost Hossa, right? Keith Solder and Patrick Kane just keeps rolling along. And like, Priest Suter is his center man. Right, like, look at the centers they've got in Chicago right now. There's no Taves, there's no Doc, and even Doc would be a second year guy. And Patrick Kane is second in the NHL in scoring.
Yeah,
right. Like,
amazing.
He's dynamic player. He's a really dynamic player. There's no doubt about it.
So. Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And it just been such a good player for so long too. You know, came into the league so young, and has just been so, you know, and there's consistency too. Like, he, for the most part in his career, he's been able to stay remarkably healthy. Like, I'm looking at his games played per year, 82, 80, 82, 73, 82. There was a 47 in 12-13, 69, 61, 62. So, like, yeah, most games, he's over 70 games pretty much every year, and over 80 games in a lot of those years too. So, yeah, consistent. And just a great player.
Shager, have yourself a good one. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, pal.